Welcome to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast with your host, Catherine M. White, founder and CEO of Accelerated Results 365. If you're an overachiever who's ready to hear what today's bleeding edge successful professionals are doing to create success in their business, you've come to the right place. On the show, Catherine interviews rockstar achievers who share their incredible tips, such as how they plow through roadblocks, outsmart the competition, grow a flourishing business, and reach unparalleled levels of performance. So kick back and get ready for a power-packed, insightful discussion with today's rockstar achiever.
Welcome to the show today. We have a special guest with us, Gene Melis. He is the owner of Car Guys Northwest, which is an auto wholesale business. He has been in the auto wholesale business for over 30 years, but took a break from his business for about 8 years when he moved to China, where he taught English to the students of Guangxi University, and also during that time acted as an agent for Central Washington University, where he recruited Chinese students to come to America to study at Central Washington University. Gene recently returned to the United States this past October to run his auto wholesale business, but he continues to teach English to Chinese students through a curriculum which he developed himself, which is found at abcesl.com. Gene has been a member of Toastmasters for about 30 years and is currently the vice president of membership for the Lake City chapter. He is grateful for the experience he has gained through Toastmasters because without it, he said he would not have been able to teach at the university in China. He enjoys teaching and he has a great passion for personal growth. Between his personal experiences and the skills he has learned through Toastmasters, he has gained the ability to grow himself and in turn teach and help others to grow. So, Gene, you've been in the auto wholesale business for about 30 years. What exactly is that? What is the auto wholesale business?
Oh, good morning, Catherine. Thank you. The automotive wholesale business is like a middleman. I will buy a car from a dealer that calls me over the phone, maybe a Ford dealer getting a Mercedes or a BMW or something that's not their product. They're not used to the product, and it's not something they would keep. So while someone is trying to trade in their car, they would call me, and I would buy the car and put a bid on it, and then I would go pick it up and resell it to a Mercedes or BMW dealer.
Okay, got it. So what makes you good at what you do?
I'm a pleasant person to the extent personality-wise. I feel that some people go out into the world with a smile on their face every day. And I feel that I'm one of those. If somebody tells me something negative, normally I try to turn it into a positive to share with them a positive feeling. And I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. Sure, certainly. Do you ever find that, do you ever get that negative stigma that people tend to have when they hear about auto sales in general?
Sure, most people don't understand what I do, and so they say, oh, you're a car salesman. But really, it's a higher tech position. I'm more like the bank, and when the dealer does call, they feel confident that if I bid the car, I own it, and I will pay them. So that's a big deal.
Sure, sure. How do you create that confidence with them?
It's actually through a networking. When I first started, I actually was a car salesman years ago, and then I was a used car manager for a Volkswagen store, and I saw these wholesalers coming to me to sell me cars, and I thought their job was very unique. Many of them would have boats and planes and so forth that they would give me rides on because I didn't have one. And their time was so flexibility, I thought, you know what? That's something I could do easily. And because of the time schedule in the Northwest, being able to go to the cabin or skiing or whatever I wanted to do, and still with my phone, be able to make money. If they called me, put the deal together, and then when I come back to town, I'd pick up the car and deliver.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And it looks like you've also been in the Toastmasters for about 30 years. So about the same time that you started your wholesale business, is that correct?
That's correct. Actually, a friend of mine that got me into the wholesale business was in Toastmasters. He invited me to come, and I can tell you it's changed my life.
Mm-hmm. And how would you say that it has changed your life?
Toastmasters is a growth opportunity for someone that would want to enrich their life personally and publicly, being able to communicate to people well.
Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned, as I stated at the beginning, that you felt that without your experience in Toastmasters, you would not have been able to do what you did when you went to China and teaching these students English. How had Toastmasters made that possible for you?
Catherine, that's a great question. I can tell you that when I was young, I stuttered very badly, and so bad that I had to go to speech pathologists in grade school to try to get over my shyness of public speaking and just speaking to people in general. And then by going to Toastmasters, it gave me self-confidence from my peers that enhanced my speaking abilities.
Uh-huh. And did you still have that stuttering when you began Toastmasters?
No, I actually left it behind. I can tell you, like many other people, if I was to speak to strangers or in a group or whatever for any reason, my knees would shake just like anyone else, and very apprehensive and very, you know, I guess the greatest thing about Toastmasters, it gives you self-confidence.
Uh-huh. Certainly. And I can definitely hear that you have come a long way with that.
Well, thank you, Catherine, for saying that.
You're welcome. So then going into how that's helped you teach at the university in China, I would like to hear a little bit about your experience doing that.
Okay.
In your teaching.
Sure. I think the best way to teach anyone anything is to try to pick out things of interest that someone else might want to do and share and be able to communicate step by step. And I found cooking was the vehicle for me. In every class, it didn't matter if it was kindergarten to the university students or adults, we would cook together, and that way it was a practical experience, and what they learned, even in my way of Western cooking, many of the students never have done anything like that before, and they could go home to mom and dad and say, hey, I know how to make an omelet. And mom and dad would say, what's that? But it was a great learning experience for them and for me. Even if it was kindergarten, they loved making, this is funny, fried eggs. They never had peanut butter and jelly before. So many things that they never have experienced, like even a tuna fish sandwich. And these are things that I would change every day so that we could learn new things.
Uh-huh. Oh, I love that. And In my business, I work with people and helping them achieve great success. And I find that the big successes start with the smaller successes. And I think about that as you're talking about teaching these kids something so simple as frying an egg. And to them, that was huge. That was a success. That was something that they accomplished that they could be proud of.
You're right, Catherine. I felt the same way, and I felt that step by step, by them achieving something they've never done before, and they've never been challenged in that way before, and wow, it was a learning experience for me and them. I grew as much as they did.
Absolutely. And how do you think that those small things that you created for them, those small successes, how do you think that impacted their learning English?
Well, I guess the best way to qualify that would be the parents. They would come to me and say, hey, your passion for teaching English has affected my child. And I would say, what do you mean? Please explain. And they would say, my child Candy would come home and say, I love Uncle Gene. And wow, heart touching.
Oh, absolutely. I can imagine. Wonderful. So I had taken a look at your website a bit, and I noticed you have ABC ESL, and the tagline is Change Your Life, the School of Your Future. And then it's so I would like to hear a little bit about what that means to you.
Sure. Like myself, with Toastmasters and or even further education, we all sometimes, after we leave school, we don't try to improve ourselves. And in my case, I felt that it was necessary, number one, with public speaking, but it wasn't just that. It was the confidence. Even in the wholesale business that I do today, people can have that sincere feeling that I project, that they feel comfortable, and so do I. And in teaching, it's the same. The students and the parents, they have to feel comfortable with you in order for you to achieve your goal.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And then also, part of the next tagline on your website says magical way of teaching English and Spanish. And perhaps there's more to the magic than what you've explained, but I can definitely hear with what the methods that you used in teaching them by finding out what it is that they like, what interests them, teaching them those teaching skills, and creating that excitement. That definitely I can see creates magic. Is there anything else that you would like to add to that aspect of having a magical way of teaching?
Well, like most students that I came across, especially in English in China, many of them, they would say, I don't want to learn English because it's difficult. We have phraseology and intonations that they don't have in China. And so my job, number one, was to make it attractive. Make it interesting, because if it was, then they could grasp it and succeed step by step. And boy, that's a learning program for myself as well as anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I can tell that you are very passionate about what you do.
That's correct. Yes.
So I am curious, how did you go from being in the auto wholesale business to getting started into teaching English to Chinese students? That's quite a different arena. So how did you go about making that or taking that different avenue?
Well, I thought I saw the economic collapse come, or I thought I felt it coming. And so I sold a couple houses in Seattle after going to China 3 times previously just to get a feel of it. The first 2 times I went for 30 days, and then the third time I went for 6 months. And at the end of the 6 months, I rented an apartment over there and thought in the beginning that I would be doing business because, of course, that's what I'm doing in Seattle. But after arriving in China, I soon learned that business would be very, very, very difficult to do in China. Mm-hmm. So even though through my teaching, I was even able to open a little cafe across from a high school in China that actually helped me also communicate to the students. And the students from the high school would volunteer their time to work in the cafe. And the teachers would tell me that they were the best English students in their class. And wow, that was very heartwarming to hear.
Yeah, I can imagine. What a compliment to you.
Well, to them also. They had to work at it, but it forced them to be able to communicate clearly. And so it benefited everyone.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. And I think you may have touched on this a little bit, but perhaps you could expand on this a little more. What would you say makes your program so successful that you can create, quote, the best English students?
Well, attitude is number one. I mentioned earlier that not many Chinese students wanted to learn English in the beginning. You know, it's like pulling teeth or dragging them to class, and that's not a student that I really wanted. I wanted them to have a passion for it like I do. And once they got into it, the passion developed, the creativity and the confidence, self-confidence that they would gain was just fabulous. We would have Western parties that would involve the parents and so forth as well at cafes and whatever in the town of Nanning, Guangxi. And that was a great experience.
Uh-huh. Wonderful. So not only were you working with the students, but you were involving the parents and making this a family learning community. That's incredible.
Definitely. And not only incredible for them, but incredible for me, because what a lovely experience.
Mm-hmm. And what makes it incredible for you, Gene?
Just being able to share with families of a different culture, that here I am, you know, as a teacher, but also as a mentor to the parents and to them, to try to get a communication going that they felt comfortable and they could see the achievement and the benefits of what we were trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. And what kind of a difference do you think that made for the families of these students?
Oh, they would, I've already expressed a little that they would excel in their class. Every student that I had, there was only 6 in the class. There was a school in England that figured out that 6 was the minimum and the maximum you could teach effectively. And I patterned my school after that. And mm-hmm. wow, it was an optimal experience as far as the amount of students, but it gave me the flexibility and the freedom to be hands-on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and now that you're no longer in China and you have created this curriculum that you can continue to teach online, how did you make that transition now that you are not there and live working with these students, and where you can be there to cook with them and encourage them? So how do you manage your program now?
Well, the program is managed to the extent that individually I'm able to reach out to them to do something different. And how I do it here, I show them Seattle. We may go to a restaurant, or I may go to a park. I may do, it doesn't matter, going in a kayak or whatever. You have to understand, they've never seen a kayak before, let alone experience it. And not that it's not coming to China. It is. They're developing very, very quickly. But you have to remember, 6 years ago, no one owned a car as far as middle class. Government officials did, of course. But the middle class has just blossomed in the last 6 years. And I was able to experience it, see it, and go with the flow. And it was amazing. The city of Nanning was 3 million people when I arrived 10 years ago for the first time. When I left, it was close to 7 million.
Wow. Incredible. So I think this, you know, what you have developed is really amazing, and how you help people is wonderful and very touching. And I just want to ask you, and you've definitely created a way for you to be successful, and you've created a way for your students and their families to be successful. What I would like to know is, what kind of things did you come up against as you went through the process of creating this great program? What kind of roadblocks did you come up against? What kind of challenges did you face to get to where you're at?
Oh, that's a great question. When I first arrived, as I've explained earlier in our conversation, I, again, thought I was going to be doing business. And then after that, I realized that's not going to happen. So I opened my own school before I even started teaching at the university, at a park, at a children's museum. I was at the second floor. I had to remodel it. Boy, that was an experience.
I bet.
Working through interpreters and, you know, the American way versus the Chinese way. There's some differences in culture to getting things done, you can imagine. And that was quite an ordeal. But we got through it. And after the school was done, and about 6 months into it, the police came to my school and saw my ugly face on the, as far as promotion material, and they said, "Who is that?" And I said, of course, that I was the manager of the school. And they go, "No, no, no." And I thought, well, that's lovely. So it ended up, they called me down to the police station, and they told me that I would have to close the school. And so that was my first experience, and it was a little earth-shattering because I had spent a lot of money remodeling the school and so forth. But that's when I started teaching at the university and getting my feet wet. And, you know, I had to come up with a different plan. And after 4 years at the university, I figured it out and had my own schools. I actually had four of them in Nanning. And as you know, we know now that It was successful but enjoyable. You can succeed in anything if you have the passion for it. Attitude is everything.
Absolutely. And that was definitely a pretty big roadblock. How do you think that having that experience has helped you grow?
Well, that's a great question. As a foreigner in a foreign land, some people say it's communist China, which it is, but in reality, the Chinese people love Americans, and they love the culture. They love the success of America, and they feel that they want to be part of it. And so sharing what we can share with them gives us an added culture experience. It gives us dimension, which you have to admit, you know, they had it very rough in modern times in 1975, I believe, is when they had their cultural revolution. And wow, they've come a long ways.
And how has it helped you come a long ways?
Well, as I expressed earlier, 6 years ago, they did not have cars. When I first got there 10 years ago, everyone was on a bike or an electric motorbike and motorcycles, but small ones. And I was able to see the progress of the middle class in China. And it was a wonderful experience overall. They were growing. I mean, if I talked to my university students, I said, please tell me what you'd like to do in the future. And most of them would say, I want to take my mom and dad around the world. And today they can do that if they have the means. And they just wanted to explore. They wanted to see what else was out there. And wow. And for me to be able to share with them about Seattle, about Montana, where my mother was from, about Portland, Oregon, California, it didn't matter. We would go all around the world today with internet. Mm-hmm. And isn't that a great tool for us to teach with?
It certainly is. Yes. So wonderful. I've got a lot out of speaking with you, Gene, and I know that our listeners will take a lot from this. And, you know, especially your comment you said a little while ago that you can do anything if you have the passion. And what a great message, and what a great message in that you have shared with the roadblock that you faced in starting this school, putting money in, remodeling it, and having that taken away from you. And most people would have given up right there, and they would have stopped and just figured that this dream just must not be for me. Maybe I'm going down the wrong path, or it's just not meant to be. And, you know, we tend to come up with all these excuses and reasons and ways to talk us out of our dreams. But you didn't let that stop you. You kept going, and you got creative, and you found another way to make it happen. And in doing so, I can see that you have changed the lives of many, and that is just beautiful.
Well, Catherine, it's a learning experience for everyone, including me. My 8 years in China was some of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. So lovely. And it wasn't just me, it was them sharing their lives, and that's important.
Well, absolutely. It really takes a team. You know, I hear of people who say they're self-made success, or they're a self-made millionaire, or whatever, self-made this, self-made that. But there really is no such thing as self-made, because it takes a team. We don't do it alone. And that's really what you're saying. And you were part of their team. For those students, you were part of their team, and you were helped to guide them so that they could create their success.
Well, you're right, but you know, it's one of those things that, as a team effort, you're explaining about help me grow as a person. And wow, I was blown over about from their kindness and so forth in the country that originally I would have had hesitation about even going there. My family goes, why would you do that? But it was an adventure. It was something that I felt I had to do.
Uh-huh. Certainly. And I completely get what you said about the growth that it brought for you. And that is so true for all of us. I find that to be true myself in my own business. My job is to, I work with people through coaching and through other programs to help them grow, and that's my business, is to grow other people, to grow their businesses. But in so doing, it certainly does come back to me tenfold, maybe even a hundredfold, because I am learning, I am growing as well through that process.
Of course. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. So, well, thank you very much, Gene. It has been a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you for tuning in to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast. If you are looking to reach new levels of success by plowing through your roadblocks, outsmarting your competition, growing a flourishing business, or reaching unparalleled levels of performance, go to www.acceleratedresults365.com or email Catherine at catherine@acceleratedresults365.com and learn how you can get started with Accelerated Results 365 today.